What a fucking game.
Welcome to Split the Defense. Leafs post-game edition.
Which is unusual.
There's still a chance.
Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.
I always feel so stupid.
Well, it seemed like they were missing something.
Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
How can you not love this team tonight?
And we're back on Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. I'm Webby here with CP, producer Ted in the booth, playoff edition. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, leave us a comment, rate us 5 stars, all that good stuff. Oof, CP, this was bad. Yeah. From the first shot of the game, which also happened to be the first goal of the game. 2-on-1, Beecher scores, end of the game, Leafs lose 5-1. But from Omar, it says, the Leafs have only won 2 game 1s in the Matthews era. So probably unnecessary to panic, but when have you ever listened to me before? So are you taking anything major from this one or on to the next, CP?
I mean, I'm taking quite a bit from this. Just, I don't know, everyone was telling me to forget about the last couple games of the season, and it looked a lot like that game that we just watched. And like, it's not really reassuring that they've lost a lot of game ones, because we're not trying to replicate what we've done in the past. Like, this is supposed to be a different team, a new playoff style. And to me, it was just so familiar to years past. And I'm trying to move forward, I guess. But good Lord, for game one, you want your team to come out and be just, you know, to be different than other years, you know, Matthews to have an edge and, you know, Marner to get things going. And those were kind of happening right off the hop. And then just first shot going in if you were going to have one of the bingo cards of all the leafiest things, and first shot going in would be on there. No question.
Yeah. They need to wake the fuck up. They got more chances. It's a 7-game series. I give them that, but that game looked like they were still helping Matthews chase 70, and Matthews wasn't shooting the puck the same way. He was actually trying to make plays. I don't really blame the Stars. I mean, William Nylander wasn't there tonight, so we can talk about that to start. We had Nyes on the top line, or second line, with Tavares and Marner, and then Robertson, Holmberg, Yarncroke as a third line, so no Willie. And I wonder how much that contributed into the fact that there was kind of a lack of oomph tonight.
Yeah, it contributed in a lot of forms, I think. One is just not a great feeling in the locker room beforehand, coming out. You know, he's a big part of the team. He's part of this core. Part of, like, just the ability of having Matthews playing with Domi and Bertuzzi is being able to have someone like Willie on the third line. And just all of that kind of planning out the window. And, yeah, when the main problem is like turnovers in the neutral zone and not being able to control the puck, like, those are things that he does well, is transitioning the puck, holding on to it. And so, yeah, you miss a guy like that. And also, when we're seeing the loaded up line of, you know, it would have been bumping Nyes down and putting Willie on there, like, you know, you lose the ability to do that as well. So, yeah, not great. Also, just odd that, like, this is a guy that's hardly misses any time and has played through things, and this is the time where he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and suddenly can't play in game one. So, yeah, it's
absolute poor timing. Funny, he played the last game of the season, did he not?
Yeah, and like, apparently the story is that he goes to bed Wednesday night feeling perfectly fine, and he wakes up Thursday with some sort of an ailment, whatever it is, if it's a lower body or whatever. But it's just, I can't believe that's something that keeps you out of game one. And it's hard to judge right now because we don't know exactly what it is. You know, like, maybe he woke up and he realized he had a broken bone of some sort. But yeah, it just seems like awfully bad timing and just a weird circumstance, really.
Absolutely. Buddy, they're fucking ghosts in buying this team. They're ghosts in that building. This TD Gardens, this Boston Bruins team, this is just, I've seen this movie before. I am just so sick and tired of losing to this team, and I just wish that it was anybody else in the first round. I absolutely do.
I, so like, I'm not so like sold on that. Like, I want it to be anyone else. I like, it doesn't seem like it's a Boston thing. It seems to me like it's a Toronto thing. Like, I feel like that would have been a poor performance if that was, you know, Florida, Tampa. I think any one of those teams would have walked over that performance.
But this team's supposed to be, you know, different. Like, yeah, this team was supposed to be built different. They were supposed to. Do you think that they came out and they showed that? Like, I mean, we have playoff Domi and Bert. I mean, they've been unleashed. But do you think their aggressiveness is hurting or helping the team? It's a, we got five power plays tonight in a playoff game. And Coach Chippy says that's absolutely insane. Banksy says the power plays are now 5-2 for the Boston, and you're calling that in the playoffs? So what do you think of that slash right there? Do you think the power plays indifference had anything to do with it?
I guess a bit. I liked how they came out initially, but it just seems like if the forwards come out and are strong, then, you know, then Sammy's going to let in the first shot. If Sammy's going to stand on his head, then the boys aren't going to be able to, you know, put one in the net past Sammy. And so, like, initially it's fine, but it's just the same story kind of, you know, and then it just, we get into penalty trouble. And yeah, it's hard to, like, some of them just don't seem like they should have been called at all. But I just don't want to be this guy here preaching that, you know, it's all the referees. Like, it was the play as well, but I don't get how, like, that slash by Domi that we showed there, like, yes, it's a penalty, but how many pretty of those light do we sit the other way? You know, pretty like, light. if you're going to, like, especially when it's 5-2 at that point, I think, or 4-2 in penalties, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I don't know. I don't want to complain about the refs all the time, but, like, and it's not the reason they lost, but it just doesn't help. And especially when you're looking at it being like, was it like 4 goals at that point? I think they had let in. So,
yeah. And every single member of the top line took a stick checking penalty.
Right.
Well, they were away from the D zone tonight. So, I mean, like, I don't know whether they were earned or whether they weren't. That's not good. And that's not going to help your cause going forward. You can't take that many penalties against this Boston Bruins team. Seemed like they tried to show up tonight and show Boston that we're tougher than you and we can bounce you around. And Boston just kind of made them their bitch. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It looked still as much as they controlled physical play. They didn't control shit. Boston picked their spots well, and Toronto was overstepping to try and lay hits and giving up chances the other way. And that was a major contributor into the reason that they lost tonight. They put themselves out of position trying to make a hit or make something happen physically that didn't need to happen, whether it was slashing with somebody or there was just so many opportunities that they tried to show that they were the bigger, stronger team that ended up hindering them tonight.
Yeah, slightly. Like the first goal in particular where Reeves is trying to make a hit and he ends up pinning Edmondson against the boards in the process. And so then it's a 2-on-1, you know. It's just kind of like you want Reeves to be running around, but like take a look at who you're going to be hitting, right? And Edmondson at the same time, like he's pinching a little low for not having a forward up. So it's kind of like both made an error there. But yeah, like, I think like the bigger issue to me, like, and it's not about the physical play. It's not about the power plays or the penalties. It's that once again, the big guys on this team that get paid a lot of money aren't able to capitalize. And it's David Kampf that scores the only goal. And so like, if you can't get transition and you can't hold like offensive zone time, you're not getting a lot of chances. Like, then it's just not going to go your way, no matter what the rest of the game looks like, no matter if you get a million penalties or not. So I just think that there's a big gap there, that's the part to me that looks so familiar, you know, like, yes, there are more, and actually the penalties are familiar before too, but you know, like, yes, they're more aggressive, and but I'm not sure that was a, like, the difference either way, you know. It's like, it just seems like the same old story once again.
Yeah, same old story once again. I mean, I did enjoy the physical play. I did enjoy seeing the Bertuzzi and Domi right off the start with Marchand, Bertuzzi in front of the net. I like that. I like Connor Dewar on Andrew Peak. He was strong dumping Andrew Peak after the whistle there. I love that. He snows the goalie, gets in everybody's face, and then just absolutely knocks him over. I thought he fell over. He just pushed him over. That's the paw strength there, right there. Gotta love that kid. But Liljegren got put into the Bruins bench by Maroon. Yeah. Now, you want to talk about physical play, and there was no answer to that. Nothing happened there. Do you think that there was enough attention drawn to that?
I mean, it's not a huge play where I think someone has to go and run in after Maroon. Like, and I think that's part of like what we want, physical play, but we don't want to be out there just chasing guys when it's not going to mean anything. So like, I would have just liked
go after one of their stars like that. I don't know. Do something stupid. I don't know.
That's what I would like to see is like, you know, Reeves go and run someone of their guys and, you know, not take a penalty, but you know, it just wasn't much of that, you know, and it is, you know, the fourth line is the only line that scored, but you know, that you want them to be impactful in a different way and allow someone like Domi, who I do like his, you know, like how he's willing to mix it up, but I think he was missing a little bit of focus on, you know, controlling play and doing the things that gets Austin Matthews going. Cause there was just a lot of like mishandled pucks, not a lot of control, not crisp passing. It's just, they're not winning puck battles. There's just a lot of those things where like, if you're focused a little too much on the wrong thing, I think, but not that I don't like you said, we like physical play. It's just like, don't make it be a detriment to the game.
No, and that's exactly it. And I think they pushed too hard tonight for the physical play rather than focusing on the game. And I think there'll be an adjustment. I think they're going to come back in game two and adjust in that way. And they're, you know, it always settles down. It always does. Game one is always an absolute circus. And it'll settle down. They'll find their way. I just, hopefully they can get through this Boston team. They didn't beat them at all this year, did they?
No, they haven't. I think they played them four times and they lost all four. And I think, was Swayman the goalie for all of them? I feel like we're always against Swayman. So,
He's your clear cut number one now.
Yeah, he looks like it. And I mean, I'm sure, and Allmark would be a clear cut number one on a lot of other teams. That's the crazy part. Like Swayman's, it's not just like they're relying on one goalie only. He's just the best one going at the moment. But I mean, there's a lot of plays where like he's just an excellent goalie. He's very calm. The high danger plays he makes without like putting himself out of position, controls rebounds really well. It's just like, he's a full package of a goalie.
Yeah. He's a great goalie. Yeah. Absolutely. And then they have Allmark just sitting there. Good thing. Oh, you can only play one goalie at a time. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So I actually screamed at the TV tonight when Matthews hit the post on a wide open net.
Man. Yeah.
I actually screamed at my TV. I cannot believe that didn't go in. That was an absolute momentum killer. Yeah, absolute momentum killer. And Brandon Carlo from the point makes it 2-0 just minutes later. And that absolutely kills the momentum, kills the game. There was hope up to that point. Like that post, even at that post, I thought there was still a chance that the Leafs are going to come back. You know, they've got the momentum in their favor now. Push, push, push. Get it back. It's only one goal. And that 2-0 goal just absolutely sunk them in my eyes.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just, it's also like, Sammy makes almost zero effort to look around screens. And like, I think that's just one of his main problems at why he's so poor at it. It's just like, if that was Joseph Woll, he would have been one way or the other around that screen. Like, maybe you pick the wrong side when you have to make a big save, but at least you know what side, like, that the puck was even shot. Like, when you watch Sammy make that save, it's like he goes down. He knows that there's the potential of something might happen, but he doesn't actually see the puck until it's past the player and makes no attempt to actually find it. So, I don't know. Like, I think we might be seeing a goalie switch because he also, like, when I watched the pregame interviews today, he made me nervous. Just, you could tell he was all up in his head. And like one media person asked one question about him, if he's a playoff goalie, and it just seemed to rattle him from what I could tell. And so I was a little nervous about, you know, seeing him in net to begin with. And like we said, there's kind of a very, very short leash no matter what on these goalies. So I think that they're going to be switching it up. And actually, that's just the question that we got, or the comment we got.
Kevin says you're spitting facts. Yeah, I think you're right. I was going to ask you, who do you think starts game two? I wonder if, you know, obviously this is the way it's going to play out, but I wonder if they actually had a plan, and the way they told Samsonov was, you're probably not going to play game two. Like, I wouldn't put it in your head that you are. It's going to be a 50-50 thing. We're not going to give you any sort of run. So that way, when they, you know, give him the hook and he ends up not playing game two, his ego's not so shot. And that's obviously what's going to be said in the media. Oh, well, this was the plan the whole time. You know, we always plan to split the time in the playoffs. We always wanted to give both goalies a shot. That bullshit's obviously going to be said. But I wonder if they actually told Samsonov that beforehand. And I wonder how much they actually kind of had that plan already. Like, even if they won, but he let in, you know, if it was a team win rather than a Samsonov win, did he just, we'll get the next start anyways. I'm sure those are conversations that were had behind closed doors.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they ever, like, would have verbalized that to Samsonov, but would have, you know, the goalie wasn't decided until, like, probably a couple days ago, maybe even just, like, yesterday. So you would think that they're not going to tell him, like, oh, Sammy, you're the goalie for the playoffs. They would just say, Sammy, you're going game one, and you leave it at that, right? And I think that it's such close of a race between the two. Like, he probably understands, no matter what, that he's not, like, it's not like he's got a long leash that he can, you know, put up a bad one. And
Sammy, you're good because you're going.
Yeah. Nice. I like that. Yeah. And I'm not sure he was good. You know, I think he was rattled just by the thought of coming into a game. And he's never really played great in under pressure in previous times. So, I mean, he's had his stints. I should give him maybe a little more credit, but he has had, you know, he struggles when he thinks too much. And I could see that right from the get go. So yeah, I would be shocked at this point if they go with him again. And I was almost thinking he might have not been in for been pulled halfway through the second when the fourth goal went in, or even coming into the third. But I guess that's maybe burning a bridge too early. So that's probably why they left him in. But yeah, I would say go with Wall.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, those Jake DeBrus goals, those, if it wasn't the Carlo goal that sucked the life out of the night, it was those DeBrus goals, back-to-back power play goals for Jake DeBrus. Yeah. He hasn't had a three-point game all season long.
Yeah.
And now, in the playoffs, in game one against the Leafs, because he's a fucking Leaf killer. Oh, Jake DeBrus, they laugh. Oh, Jake, I don't know why. The guy just loves to fucking beat up on the Leafs. He does. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And like, he showed up tonight.
He's also on the bingo card of almost a free space. And we're like, he like revitalized his career against the Leafs when he like couldn't find a spot anywhere. He was on the outs in Boston. They were talking about trading him. And then he just lit it up against the Leafs last year. And so, yeah, he's always had the number. Him and Swayman, it's like the new era of Boston is just bred to destroy the Leafs. It's in like their, it's how they're bred as soon as they sign a contract. It's like, just so you know, we're making every Leaf a living hell. And they do.
They absolutely do. So we got our second game at TD Garden in Boston before we get two games at home guaranteed. Hopefully that's not all it is. What do you expect to see out of the Leafs as far as changes for game two?
Well, I hope the first change is that Willie's in the lineup, but that's one that you can't control. But I would say the first change that you can control is that you bring in Brody, and I think Lyubushkin's on his way out. I'm not sure what the lines look like at that point, and it's kind of scary to me.
Riley Brody?
Yeah, like that's I don't want to do that. And I wouldn't be shocked if they do like
oh, no.
Riley and McCabe. That might be a look that would be better. And then you go with Brody and Benoit, I guess. But
yeah.
It's still it's not good. No question.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that Lyubushkin just seems that all the things that he is usually really good at, shutting down play, making an impact physically, and like none of that has been there for the last like week. And I was hoping that it was going to be like coming into the playoffs. He's been saving himself, but just doesn't seem like it's it. Like, I'm not sure if it's the foot speed, he's can't cut guys off or what, but it's just not there for him. So yeah, I would say that that's the one change that you can control. See, Ryan Reeves sucks. Yeah, but
there you go. What did John says? Ryan Reeves sucks. So do you think he's going to be taken out of the lineup? Do you think there'll be a switch there?
I mean, if you put Gregor in, it's a change. Like it all depends on who's healthy.
No, because if say in a perfect world, Nylander is back.
Okay.
And then does Robertson get precedence over Reeves? He played pretty well tonight.
He actually did play pretty well, and he absorbed a few hits pretty well as well. I'm not against it. It's not like at that point, it's probably because Robertson is playing with two guys that are pretty, pretty good defensively in Holmberg and Yarncroc. And so if you put him down on the fourth line, he's still with two guys that are pretty good defensively in Kampf and Doer. So I think that he does slot in okay. And I'm not a huge Gregor guy to begin with, so I would be fine with that. But I just like, why didn't Reeves make more of an impact, especially once the game's getting late and you're only getting a few shifts? I know they're changing, like they're trying to chase the game and you don't want to do anything stupid, but it's like, it is a good point that like, he's not like, again, like Labushkin, the things that he's good at, he wasn't doing tonight, you know? So, yeah. Kampf and Doer though, they were kind of, I felt like they were doing pretty good. And like you said, Doer looks strong. Kampf, like he has this ability to get a goal when it doesn't matter, but
it did kind of matter. It could have mattered. Just the rest of the team couldn't get it going. That could have sparked a comeback. It just didn't. It could have. It just didn't.
Yeah, good on him for like in a game where no one can do anything and he can. And it just shows that like in the playoffs, simple things work. So, you know, nothing fancy.
Did you kind of find tonight that it wasn't so much the Leafs couldn't make a play? It's that the Leafs weren't adjusted to the style of hockey that the Boston Bruins brought when that intensity was there. It's like the game speed was faster and the Leafs weren't ready to play at that speed. And the Leafs that we've known to be good, are they good playing in fast, heavy games like that? Like, look back on this season. Or is it more games where, you know, the other team's kind of sleepy and they've won a lot of those games? I don't know. Is that just a Leaf thing? Why does it seem like every other team always shows up?
Yeah, like the Leafs are really good at bringing it physically to the other team and having that work when the other team doesn't have an answer for it. Like the Edmonton Oilers pops into mind. Like they beat the Oilers basically by being physical, but like the Oilers don't necessarily have anything to bring back at you. So I don't know. It does seem like it was like they're making way too many passes through the neutral zone. And it's fine if you're doing that, if you're making crisp passes, receiving them well. But like, I'm not sure John Tavares received one pass properly tonight.
They're not a good passing team. Just not a good passing team. They got a bunch of good shooters. They're just not a good passing team.
Yeah. So that's like, they needed to get the puck in and dump and chase. And, you know, and Domi and Bertuzzi are pretty good at that, but they just seemed like they were losing the puck battle like on the second try and then the puck's going the other way. You know, like they're getting it initially, but just not sustaining the pressure. So, I don't know. Like Sheldon Keefe's got to pull something out of his butt here because it definitely wasn't, they didn't change up their strategy throughout the game very much. And they're going to have to, like, he was apparently watching tape for a while now. He's watching it during last game. So, find the system that's going to work because it wasn't the system for tonight.
Tonight was not it. They need to figure something out. They need to figure their shit out and get their asses together. They'll come back for game two and hopefully they're better for it. You know, it's a 7-game series, so hopefully they could win the next four and we could just laugh about this one. You never know, right, guys? You never know. But do you got anything else on this game, CP?
I don't know in particular. Like, I have a bunch of negative thoughts going through my mind. One in particular is that playoff Riley didn't show up, you know, and I'm not sure if it's part of a symptom of that his line mate wasn't doing very well. But he just wasn't the guy that I was expecting to show up like he did last year, transitioning from regular season to playoffs. So, I need more out of all the team. Like, yeah, I thought I think that it was Matthews and Marner were able to create a little bit of stuff. Like Marner had some space at times, but I feel like we just need an upgrade from everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Bobian comments, is Sheldon on the hot seat this season? So is an upgrade at coach maybe necessary in the offseason, especially if we see a first-round exit?
I mean, if it's a first-round exit, like, you can book it. That man's not making it until next year. Like, if it's a second round, then I guess there's a question. But he got a contract extension only because of, like, how it looks from the outside. It didn't mean that he was going to be here for three more years. It just, like, he was guaranteed this year. But after that, like, yeah, first-round exit, he's definitely gone. No question.
Yep, I agree. Sheldon is 100% in the hot seat. This series, it's very crucial for him to win. Otherwise, he will not be the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs next year. Who knows where he could be the head coach? He's a great head coach, but his time may have run out here. And, you know, all good coaches, they have their expiration date, and it just may be his. So, yeah. Like, it just might be time to move on. Not even completely his fault. You're probably going to have to see player personnel changes if that happens as well. But yeah, I would say that Sheldon does not feel safe right now, especially down 1-0. And I'm sure that he's game planning his ass off to come back in game two and beat these Boston Bruins at their home. Because as someone wise once told me, the series doesn't start until somebody loses at home.
I mean, that is true. And when I think about going into, like, we're away, like, you just want to steal one of the games off the first two. So, I mean, it's not all out the window, but definitely not feeling as good as I felt this morning. That's for sure.
Still pumped, still jacked up. So when is the next game? So we're Saturday today. We got a Monday, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do every other day playoff hockey.
Yeah. Actually, until like we play, I think Wednesday and then again Saturday. So, there is a 2-day gap there.
Yes.
They got to get the Leafs on as many Saturdays as possible.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So we'll be back Monday, back after the game at TD Gardens. Game 2, Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins, 2024 NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. That's a wrap for now. Thanks for joining us for Split the Defense Leafs post game. We appreciate your comments. To show your support, hit that like button, subscribe to our YouTube. Please rate and review the show because we'd love your feedback. Tell us we're shit. Tell us we're awesome. Tell us what you'd like us to do more of or less of. Find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.